Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 315. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight we have Harrison Milfeld.
What's up, everybody?
Holly Belmer.
Hi, everyone.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, everybody.
Third time's the charm.
On tonight's show, we actually have two... No, we don't. We do have our usual three-part structure for yourself. We're going to start with what we've been playing, move on to the Nintendo news, and finally finish with a special feature around the top 10 moments of this year's E3. So to kickstart our what we've been playing, Colin, would you like to... Yeah.
Yeah, let's go for it. I completed a classic game. Can anyone ever guess what it is?
Super Mario Kart.
3DS Remake? No.
Was this on the Virtual Console?
You finally beat Tetris. Okay, it's okay to share.
He beat Tetris?
I have done that, but... Yeah. No, 3DS Remake. I completed Ocarina of Time. It's been the third time I completed this game in my life, with 100% completion. And... Yeah, it's okay.
So is the 100% including the, I guess, the gold tellers as well?
Yep. Oh yeah, all the bottles.
Awesome.
Everything.
Did you beat Master Quest though?
See, Master Quest is the one thing I've never attempted because it just seems crazy. It doesn't really appeal to me that much. I do love the original, but when I was playing Ocarina of Time, I noticed how when you look at this compared to Majora's Mask is a slightly superior game?
Yes, it is, in my opinion.
it's more original. And, you know, Ocarina of Time feels like they just took the template from A Link to the Past and went, that was good, let's turn that in 3D. Which is fine, it's great, you know.
I think that's what they were kind of going with, obviously there were things to put into it, like, you know, Z-targeting and just an open world. Well, not, I use that in air quotes, open world Zelda. We finally are getting an open world new one, but... You know, that was the kind of thing when you saw with 3D remakes. It's just like you're taking a good template to put this into 3D. It's just Metroid took a little longer to get that, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, they tried to recapture Ocarina of Time with Twilight Princess, which I absolutely hated. They're trying to recapture that feeling, and it wasn't there. But yeah, it's a very successful remake. I'm very happy with it. They cleared up the frame rate issues. Does anyone remember the frame rate issues on the 64?
Oh, definitely. It's just a lot more kind of consistent overall, isn't it?
I remember various N64 games with frame rate issues, and one in particular was Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
When an explosion goes off, put the shoulder. Yeah, so I've done that, and so I thought, okay, move on to my next 3DS game. Now, I've recently purchased this, thinking, I like the other games, I could play this, and that's Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate.
Ah!
I love all the Arkham games. They're all, like, exemplary, masterful game design.
So that includes this one, then, by that statement.
This doesn't really have that, which I was kind of disappointed in. I mean, I've only played for a couple of hours. So hopefully...
So this is the side view one, isn't it?
It is the 2D one, made by Armature Studios. Which is...
I the Metroidvania thing kind of gets banned around. Is that actually true in this game?
There's a lot of backtracking.
Yes, there is. And I said it's made by Armature, which is like three key members of Retro Studios that left Retro and like, yeah, we're going to make our own little group. And they're trying to make a 2D Metroid game, and it's a bit average. I was kind of disappointed. I really wanted it to be like, wow, this is amazing. But it's... kind of dull so far, but that's all I've been playing on 3DS at the moment, so that's it.
I never did get a chance to play Blackgate on there. The only one I got was the console of, console version of Arkham Origins, which I had mentioned weeks prior, was that it's a nice little distraction. It's not terrible or great. It's not terrible or great in any way. It was just kind of it was a nice little distraction, just because it didn't really do as much to improve upon the past Arkham games that I liked that Rocksteady did, but, it was doable, but, you know, Blackgate was something I never got a chance to try out.
So obviously, because I have never played an Arkham game before, I should start with Blackgate, right? Sounds like a great one to start on for a beginner.
Maybe?
I know what you cover, but it's actually, like, it plays completely differently to the other Arkham games, isn't it?
It uses a lot of the same ideas, like the counter system, the combat system is exactly the same, but now it's 2D. But yeah, there are. It does play slightly differently, because it's only a 2D perspective, so, yeah.
So would you say it's quite a, kind of a truthful 2D version of the 3D games, as it were? Does it feel like it is a 2D version of those games, or does it feel like something's missing? Not quite there.
They attempt to emulate the 3D games from a 2D plane, and they succeed about 60% of the time, but there are a few things like, okay, in the Arkham games there's these stealth bits which you cannot be seen or you get shot. They try to do it in 2D, and I don't really think it works that well.
Yeah, no, I remember some Game Boy Color games in the early Game Boy Advance games doing the 2D stealth, and it's not quite working so well.
Yeah.
With the exception of, sorry, to have to go over a bit of a tangent here, with the exception of the Metal Gear
Ghost Babel,
which came out, on the Game Boy Color. That was fantastic, and it was 2D.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's me.
Awesome. So, Harrison, what have you been up to gaming-wise?
Well, been just kind of just dabbling a little bit more into Mario Kart 8, and I'm still having my difficulty with trying to 3-star all the 150cc cups.
Okay, so have you unlocked all the characters, as it were?
Yeah, all the I got all the characters by the first weekend I had the game. And and I actually finally registered the game to get my free title. I just haven't downloaded it yet because memory on my Wii U right now is quite low, and I'm trying to find a inexpensive way to increase that, because I believe, what is it, like the Digital Deluxe program that ends, I think, this Christmas, I believe. So
yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, and you'll have until, I think, the following March of 2015 to actually use all your eShop credits, or to use them, or actually to register it. But, Mario Kart 8, I mean, I did race you a few times when we were in the the Nintendo tournament with your wife, I believe. If that was true.
Yes, that was correct.
And I believe she did beat me a few times on there, and at that point I just kind of had to walk out of the room, just realizing, how's this possible? But no, I digress. I've just been going a little more, and again, this is just one of those Wii U titles I'm glad I can actually, even after kind of finish, I mean, I wouldn't consider beating all the tracks, just finishing the game, like completing it. I mean, it's still a lot more to go into and open up, be it, I think you can unlock the backwards tracks on this one.
Yes,
mirror tracks.
Yeah.
That's what you do if you get 3-starred in every single one, be it 50, 100, and 150cc.
Wait, you have to get the 3 stars in every single one of those? I thought you just had to finish with at least, you know, like 1 star up to 150cc. I don't know for sure, though, so I don't know. Maybe
you're
have to get the 3 stars.
But I'm not sure I've actually checked.
No, Holly, if that's true, that's going to save every bit of little sanity that I have left from those games, because if online is... I don't think the people I'm facing online are not using shortcuts. I really do think they're abusing the hot boost, which is like a kind of a glitch, which is in the same vein of snaking and, you know, how Power Slide was abused in Mario Kart 64, where it just, once you're power sliding, once you get the yellow boost from fire or whatever, just hop as quickly as possible and it'll continue your boost. There's too many times where I'm thinking, like, how are these people way ahead of me? And I'll experiment with, like, different cart, like, you know, customize my cart, but it's still the same thing, you know, but yeah. Mario Kart 8, with it again, whatever, it's just good to actually have one of these few Wii U titles where I'm actually just going back and just, you know, having people around, you know, for local multiplayer, or even local and online multiplayer. It's just finally, my Wii U is actually bringing other people in to play it right now and put down their other consoles. So, good job on me, Nintendo. Thank you for that. But, yeah, that's all I've been playing at the moment.
That's pretty cool. And, yeah, I mean, Mario Kart 8 still continues to impress. One thing I did want to add was you said you've yet to redeem your free download code for your free game. What you may notice is a pleasant surprise if you weren't aware, you will get your extra digital promotion points from the free game itself.
Wait.
It counts towards as if you had bought it, points-wise.
So, if I buy, like, Wii Party U on there, it still counts?
Yeah, so however many points you would get that normally for buying it in the store, those points get applied to your digital deluxe account, as it were. They just get tallied up like any other game.
Well, I gotta get that hard drive done really soon, because, I I'm gonna make this short, whatever, but I was, like, looking online to try to find some, you know, quick and effective ways to actually expand my memory on there, because I don't really have the need for, like, a 500 gig hard drive to my Wii U, because I feel like I'm gonna go half and half buying digital and retail. It's just, but I did find one where it's a USB SD card reader where you can just plug them back to one of the USB ports as long as it's USB 2.0, and you can fit it to at least, I think, 32 gigs. And I've seen video where this actually has worked, and I remember at the beginning when the Wii U was released, Nintendo said that you would not be able to use, you know, SD cards to run titles. But there's a way around that, which I just mentioned, was the USB SD card reader. And I think you can, buy one of those readers for about as cheap as under $10.
Yeah, definitely. It may be worth just checking up if people have had experience doing that on the Wii U before, just because I think there may be something to do with read and write speeds, but I have not tried it myself, so I can't say. But yeah, if that does work, that's definitely a very inexpensive, as it were, way of doing it.
I don't know, I just feel like, you know, having my Wii U, with because it's on the ground with all my other consoles my roommates have, just having that external pack there, and plus with its own power source, I think you need to have an external with its own power source to actually use it. If I did that, it's like my outlet's probably just to be screaming, like, please, don't put any more plugs in, please.
Yeah, and I was kind of in a similar situation, because I didn't want to really add another plug to my setup, just because, you know, the Wii already uses the two of them. But fortunately, I had this odd hard drive knocking around, which I don't think you can kind of buy these anymore, but it's basically like a laptop-sized hard drive and a little caddy, but it requires you also put in a AAA battery, which sounds silly on the front face of it, but what it was designed for was like these small laptops at the time, which didn't give enough charge for laptops, sorry, for hard drives. But that works perfect for the Wii U, so it lasts quite a long time on that battery, so it doesn't need any external source. It uses the single USB cable as well, and every couple of months or so, I just swap that battery out.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's great advice for people, because I don't think they make that sort of setup anymore. But it works good for the Wii U if you happen to have one. I can say that much. So, Holly, what have you been playing?
Well, you're about to find out the reason why when Colin said, can you guess what I've been playing that's an older game? I said Super Mario Kart, because that's what I've been playing. I kind of missed out on that one when I was a little kid, so I've been... actually, in the spirit of, you know, Mario Kart 8's release, I just... You know, I'm still really, like, thrilled about Mario Kart 8 and just the Mario Kart series in general. I decided, like, I'm going to go back and play, like, every single game, because I had played every single game in the series except for Super Mario Kart. I said I'm just going to start over at the beginning, start with Super Mario Kart, and play as many as I can. I haven't gotten that far in Super Mario Kart, though, because I've been short on time lately, which will hopefully not be so much of a problem starting next week. So yeah, I've been playing Super Mario Kart for the first time in my life, and it has been, to me, surprisingly good. I was kind of expecting not to enjoy it so much, because it's not a 3D Mario game. I just, you know, I'm attached to my 3D Mario games, and so I was not expecting much from the original, but I've been surprised. I don't know. It's just this sense of speed that playing this game gives you. It just is a thrill. I don't know why, but it's really exciting for me.
You're just thrilled by that Mode 7 technology, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose so. But it's good. I'm at a point where I'm kind of frustrated because I can't get past, I'll start a cup. Like, right now I'm working through some 100cc levels because I didn't realize you couldn't unlock the special cup in 50cc, which is ridiculous. I just want to get to Rainbow Road already. Maybe I don't.
The way you just said that, Rainbow Road, you almost said it as Rambo Road. I was like, where is this car? Where is this level?
Yeah, I'm not even talking Nintendo here anymore. Rainbow Road, sorry. Weird accent, I guess. But I will sometimes start a car, or sometimes start this cup that I'm currently on in 100cc, and I can do the first level fine, I get first place. But then there's like a level right in the middle of the cup that I cannot, for the life of me, get fourth place or higher on. And so I'm kind of, you know, just stalled in this game. No pun intended there.
So now I'm curious, have you tried out the local multiplayer?
I have a little bit. There's not a lot of people who are willing to play around here, but I got my sister to play. You know, she's kind of my guinea pig when it comes to these things, but she enjoyed, we did like a 50cc cup. She was enjoying herself for maybe like 30 seconds and then got all frustrated. I tried to force her to play battle mode with me because I wanted to know what that was like, but she wouldn't do it.
So you didn't get a chance?
I played it. Like I tried all the different levels in battle mode without her controlling a character. So I was just kind of driving around and picking up items and hitting the helpless driver who was just sitting there doing nothing. And because, you know, I wanted to try and experience everything that I could. It was all right. I want to play with somebody who actually has some skills, though.
Yeah, it's a shame that you can't play that game online, because I think the battle mode in that game is probably the best in the series. Even more so than the 64 version.
Considering how Mario Kart 8's battle mode is terrible.
Ooh,
it's not too
up.
Bad on Moo Moo Meadows to me, but yeah, there's not another course on there that works.
That's the exception. That's the only one my friends and I, we played on. Everything else was just, I was having difficulty just to miss hitting somebody, and it's like, oh wow, corner. It's like, you don't have those areas where you can just kind of, you know, just surprise anybody. It's just that, and everybody's kind of going the opposite direction, or you're going one direction like it's a race, and you don't know. It's stupid. Please, Nintendo, have some DLC where it has battle mode arenas.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. So was there anything else you played?
Not really. It's like I say, I don't have a lot of time recently. My niece has been here for the last few days, and she really likes playing video games, even though she's not that great at them, and so whenever I've had a chance, I've played Mario Kart 8 with her, but I haven't even had a lot of chances to do that.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll move over to what I've been playing then. Now, have I mentioned on the show about Phoenix versus Layton, about me picking it up?
I don't think so.
We talked about the US one coming to the States. That was
yeah.
It.
I'll give this one a quick mentioning. As listeners of the show will most likely know, I'm a big fan of both the Layton series and the Phoenix Wright series. And I have been eagerly awaiting picking up Phoenix versus Layton for the 3DS, which actually has been out in Europe for quite some time now. But the reason why I hadn't picked it up was because I wanted to finish the last Layton game. So having finished that a few weeks back, I have picked up Phoenix versus Layton. And have been going through that. It is basically kind of playing a bit of one game, then a bit of another game, but with kind of a consistent story or narrative going throughout. So it's made by Level 5, so the Layton guys, but the Phoenix sections do feel, you know, perfectly kind of at home, as if Capcom had made them. And so far, the story is shaping up pretty cool. Lots of interesting characters. But I think kind of most importantly is just kind of the production values which has been poured into this. Seems just to be ridiculous. There's so many just like anime style animated cutscenes which are fully voiced. Just loads of awesome music and just a lot of voice work going through the normal text as well. It seems like they poured more money into this one than any of the individual games of either series. Which seems a bit odd. Because I don't feel that they particularly hyped this game up beyond that it would be great for fans of the two series.
I'm trying to figure out. Was it the Layton series or was it the Phoenix Wright series that is sold a lot better here in the States or in the UK? I don't know. Is that fairly?
I imagine it would be the Layton series.
Yeah, Layton. I was going to say yeah.
Definitely over here because it's been huge in Europe. But yeah, I think the Layton games have sold pretty well in America as well. However, the Phoenix games haven't so much, which I guess would explain why Phoenix 6 was a digital-only release in America and over here, whereas this game is getting a boxed release, and I guess that's because Layton's in it. So hoping more people will pick it up. But yeah, I'm really pleasantly surprised by this game so far. It's going beyond my expectations I had for it. I've heard it's ridiculously long, though, so that should be interesting. Yeah, I've heard it's kind of like the length of just two of the games, just kind of bolted together. I'm not sure how true that's going to be yet, but if it is...
It's a great package.
Yeah.
I won't be playing it for a long, long time. I have actually picked up another game, which was a download game for the Wii U, which came out this week, which is...
Yes.
Is Pool Blocks World.
Ah.
Which is... what is it? Pushmo World here.
Oh, of course it is, yes. I don't know why they do this to certain of their titles.
considering how they call Star Fox over there Star Wing.
Do they still do that? I can't remember now. They did for 64. Did they carry that on?
64 was Lilac Wars. Then after that, they actually went to Star Fox Adventures. And then
that's good, yeah.
It was due to copyright. There was something over here called Star Fox in Europe.
I would say it's the same way. Whatever when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hero was renamed Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles in the UK.
Yeah,
sure, yeah.
Our theme tune was better.
I think that was just because ninjas had a bad rep over here at the time. They weren't kid friendly, so they had to make them heroes.
I enjoyed the UK theme tune better.
Oh well, we know what our intro music's going to be. But that Pool Blocks World. If you've played either of the 3DS games, you will know what to expect. However, it looks surprisingly good on the TV, and what I found is, playing on the TV, if you've got like someone else on the couch, it works surprisingly well, just so you know, to throw suggestions and ideas, and when the other person gets frustrated at you, they can just grab the gamepad out of your hands and give it a go. And it's turned out to be quite a good, just local multiplayer game, despite it not actually having any local multiplayer modes. So yeah, I've been having fun just kind of with local people just trying to solve different puzzles on the TV. And the game looks really, really fantastic, actually, surprisingly so. And it's got a bunch of online stuff where you can create your own puzzles and upload them, which means you can also download them from the community, and you can sort them by like the most popular and so on. And a lot of people have just kind of gone out and done like some like sprite art type puzzles, some which look really well done, and you'll be amazed at what they made with tools. I've yet to actually try to create my own, but I have downloaded some of the popular ones, and there was even a Luigi Desk there one. so it just shows you how kind of how rapid the community works for Pool Blocks. But yeah, no, I can recommend this game already. I haven't got so far into it yet. I think about only about like 30 puzzles or so in. I'm hearing the game has about 200 of them or so. So it looks like that's going to keep me busy as well for quite some time. I'm obviously on some sort of real puzzle mood or... some sort of... I'm just a bit puzzle mad currently with that and the Layton Phoenix stuff going on as well. But yeah, that pretty much covers what I've been playing recently. So we'll move on now to the Nintendo news. And the first piece of news we have is that we are getting our first Mario Kart 8 DLC. And so this is the DLC that we heard about, which was released in Japan, which is the Mercedes-Benz kart, which obviously will fit perfectly into the Mushroom Kingdom. Whether we'll also be getting the really weird TV advert to go alongside it, I don't think that's been confirmed yet, but I'm kind of hoping we do.
Do you think this is a problem seen as how you're just seeing TV ad money going into this right now? I'm not saying money going into this, but just seeing, I don't know, it just seems weird for me seeing Nintendo actually having to come out and outsource a company to put in their own little cart on there. Yes, I'm calling this Mercedes-Benz GLA a cart, so yeah, it's what it is. But
it seems to be a weird brand to choose as well. If you were to like partner up with a car manufacturer to, you know, cross promote Mario Kart, you wouldn't necessarily think, like, if you drew a Venn diagram of people who played Mario Kart and potential car buyers, what car they can be buying. I wouldn't have necessarily gone straight for the Mercedes-Benz.
Yes, I can see Nintendo adding a Prius in there. It's like, all right, ready,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because, yeah, I don't know if you guys in America have the same, but I know over here there is a car which is called Mi, as an M-I-I. I thought that would be much more appropriate cross-promotion. Oh,
yeah. Is it one of those smart cars?
It's not. No, it's just a small car, I think. It's not a smart car, though. I'm not entirely. Seat makes it.
Mm.
But yeah. So what do we think about? I guess firstly, just like some, it is, you know, there's no if nots or doubts about it. It is just like pure promotional sponsorship. Hitting a Mario game. Are we happy with this, or would we rather this wasn't happening?
I'm indifferent, really. I mean, it's not really the DLC I was hoping for. But it's this kind of makes me fear that this is going to happen again, because who knows, we may get the Ford Motor Company or even GMC into this, and it's going to be distracting for me. That's it.
If they was to put a Mini as DLC, I would buy this Mario Kart. Just for the Mini. It'd be great.
Yeah, see, that would make it a lot more sense in my book.
Yeah, because it's small, you know.
So how about you, Holly? How do you feel about Mercedes going into Mario
Well,
Kart?
I'm pretty indifferent as well. It all depends on its stats, which I don't think we really know. Maybe, I guess, if you Googled it, you might find out what the stats are. But, yeah, that's pretty much everything to me, is how it's going to affect how I actually drive. Which, you know, it actually kind of resembles the type of car that I like to drive in Mario Kart. It's the sports coupe. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Does it have a P sound at the end of it? But, whatever. That's what I drive. And it looks like it might handle pretty similarly to that. So I might just switch over to the Mercedes-Benz GLA class cart when it releases.
And I've just realized I don't think I've seen any Luigi Death Stars of him in one of these. But it would be perfect. Just like rolling past his opponents. Giving him the death eye.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do feel a bit odds about this promotion. Yeah, whether they do more of this in their different games, we'll have to wait and see how they approach. But then again, as it is currently, it just seems to be a little bit of fun. But yeah, I'm quite intrigued, but I'm more excited at the fact that there is technically actual DLC coming. So I'm hoping that means they haven't gone through the effort of putting through the DLC mechanism purely for this. So hopefully we'll get some actual carts we'll be interested in, or possibly courses, maybe even battle arenas later on. So yeah, I'm taking this as good news on that side of things. So our next piece of news is about the Wii Virtual Console, finally getting N64 games. And so this doesn't necessarily come from like a official press release or unveil, and this is actually from some updated wording on their website. Around the Virtual Console. In quotes, tip, check back regularly for the latest releases, including the future editions of titles from the Game Boy Advance and Nintendo 64 systems. And so, that's, I guess, Nintendo just kind of coming out and saying 64 is actually coming. So yeah, I mean, we don't know when this is going to be. Hopefully they'll be able to expand the library beyond what they managed to put on the Wii's N64 Virtual Console. But yeah, what does everyone think about this?
Where's the GameCube games?
You need a hard drive first.
Oh, yeah, I do. Thanks, I know. Thanks for realizing, because when that happens, I'm going to be like...
There could be big downloads there.
That they are. I could definitely see something like, you know... Oh, Lord. But no, why did it take so long? I mean, it's just...
Well, they're not even here yet.
No. Why is it... It just feels like, why has it been taking so long to get N64 games right now? I mean, last year I wrote a piece of how to fix the virtual console for Pure Nintendo, and one of my things was, well, actually, I think they're probably going the same step, is that they're trying to bring out basically these releases, but also just scatter them out, as opposed to just, because remember during the Wii life cycle, when the virtual console was out, you got probably, what was like, 3 or 4 virtual console titles, like, every Monday or Tuesday, and since then it dropped off, but... I think what they're trying to do is just to kind of, you know, compensate for it. But, you know, it's just it's a mess, but thankfully, you know, hopefully this is getting into the right direction.
Pretty cool. If we were to quickly go around and say an N64 title could come to the Virtual Console, which one would you rather it be? How about you start us, Harrison? What would you really like to see on there? Mm. One title.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a hard one.
Can't be by Rare.
No, yeah, it can't be by Rare. I was about to say that.
It takes up half the good ones.
I'm not going to say either the Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask. I'm not going to say that. I'd have to say... wow, this is the thing. Like, N64 titles didn't have the... Like, N64 did not have the biggest of lineups. I think through its life cycle only had, like, 250 games. Gotta guess, Pokemon Snap with gamepad usage. There you go.
That would be cool. How about you, Colin?
Me, Body Harvest. You remember Body Harvest?
That's a rare one, though, isn't it?
No, it was made by Rockstar. Well,
oh,
DMA back then, which is before they came Rockstar. Yeah. It's really good.
Awesome. Okay. And how about you, Holly?
Harrison's suggestion kind of threw me off for some reason. Now all I can think about is Pokemon Snap with gamepad gyroscope capabilities. That would be really cool. But I'm just going to throw out there Paper Mario, because I still have never played that game. I mean, I have it downloaded on my Wii U, you know, as part of the Wii thing.
Yeah.
But I've never actually played it, which to you guys and to our listeners probably is probably kind of sad.
But yeah, if you've got it downloaded, you should go ahead and play it. For myself, I think a lot of the good first-party ones actually did come out for the Virtual Console for the Wii. So I'm going to go with one of the other Mario Parties, which they didn't release. Just because I do like my Virtual Console games to be multiplayer games. I have some friends who like the retro action, as it were. So yeah, I think having access to some of those more obscure Mario Parties, which we've not played in absolutely years, could be cool to bring out every now and again.
Yeah, two was the best one. I really enjoyed two.
Yeah, and two is installed on my Wii U in Wii mode, so that is something.
That's good.
Yeah,
the first one destroyed your hand. It was terrible.
Yeah, and they had to send out gloves, didn't they?
Gloves. Mario. That's right. Yeah. God.
Okay, I'll move on now. Our next piece of news is actually about our E3 prediction show, and the results are in, but for this one, I will hand this over to Holly, who did the official post on the website.
Well, okay. Well, I did some just point awarding, basically, in the different categories. Lewis actually had this set up really well. There were just, like, several categories with different questions that we could answer as predictions. And so I had a winner in each category and then some overall winners. And you can check out, you know, all the details on Infendo.com. But the overall winner is actually Lewis. Congratulations for that, with 31 points.
Fixed. Fixed. Yeah. Fixed.
I was as fair as possible. Second place was Harrison with 27 points total. Third place was myself with 26 points, and Colin got 24 points for fourth place. But we all had really good predictions. Hello. I mean, so for Lewis, he like predicted that there would be some kind of a colorful first person. It is third person, but a Splatoon. He kind of predicted a shooter, a multiplayer shooter. So that was...
I distinctly said you could transform into Splatoon.
I don't remember you ever saying that.
You know, but... If you would have said that in the prediction show, I think that would have, like, clinched you way ahead the win.
I know, I probably would have given, like, 10 bonus points for that, which is a lot. But, yeah, that was a very impressive prediction. Harrison, like, told us this whole massive story about how at the very end of the Nintendo Digital event, the lights would go dark and then some stars would pop up, and then just out of the dark... the voice of Peppy Hare would be like, do a barrel roll, and their Star Fox would be announced for Wii U. Well, it didn't exactly happen that way, but at the very end of the show, we did get a little tease for Star Fox for Wii U, so that was very impressive. With Colin, I was actually very impressed, because Colin, when we talked about like how we want the Zelda for Wii U to be, we kind of talked about, like, extra features that we just wanted to predict, just random things. And Colin was like, I kind of hope that it has an open world kind of like the Wind Waker. And I was very surprised when, you know, Anuma announced, or, you know, talked about the Wind Waker specifically as, you know, something that they wanted to expand upon, like the open world in Wind Waker. They wanted to do that, but kind of just make it more cohesive in the next Zelda game. So Colin mentioning that was also very good. So good stuff all around.
And yeah, that's who came last.
And good job on you, Holly, for putting it together. I mean, to actually...
No problem.
Yeah, definitely. And I think after the success of this year's show, I think we'll do the same for next one.
Annualize it.
Why not? However, for our next piece of news, apparently, Colin, you have some Capcom news for us.
Oh, I do, yes. Sorry. Yeah, Capcom is basically up for sale, in a sense.
Of course, yeah.
Their money troubles are very well known at the moment. Yeah, so if one company buys a huge amount of shares in Capcom now, they could effectively end up owning it. Now, Capcom's like, oh, we're not going to let this happen, blah, 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 but it's publicly traded, so there's not much they can do about it. It's interesting, because I've heard a lot of people say that Nintendo, yeah, go on, get them, yeah, while you can. Do you agree with that? Do you think Nintendo should buy Capcom?
I don't think it would happen, because, one, if you have control, like, if you put it, like, say Nintendo puts, like, about a 50% stake into Capcom. Two things that kind of come into it right now is that, one, out of their war chest over the last few years, being their financial, like, troubles, they lost a bit of that war chest going into it right now. Not all of it, but still enough to play around with. But even if you got that amount to it, it just, I don't know. You would have to find a way to secure, if you get that money into it, securing those IPs and actually having to work with them to release, it's just, I just don't know how it actually would work. But because it's the same thing with like what happened with Atlus last year when that was up for sale. That was a company I think Nintendo could have easily bought into and get in there because it's not as on the same level as what Capcom, like as far as when it comes to internal IPs. But I did hear a rumor about Microsoft coming in, jumping in to help it out, but that's just rumblings.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I was kind of obsessed with Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for a while there, and so I don't know. That's the only thing that really has a connection with me with this news is like, I don't want anything to happen to Monster Hunter, but you know, I don't think anything will. No. I probably shouldn't be worried, so I'm just kind of indifferent, basically.
Yeah. I think if Sony had more money, we could be worried of them just kind of swooping in to claim Monster Hunter for the Vita, but they're not in a position to do that.
Thank God.
But yeah, I mean, obviously Capcom has this huge, like, backlog of IP, which, you know, would seemingly work quite well for Nintendo's kind of stable. It's, but again, going beyond that, it's hard for me to really discuss about the business calls and how we justify spending that amount of money. Obviously, just as a fan, I would say, yep, buy them. get them to make games exclusive for your systems. You can have the next Resi to yourself. You can put out, you know, the new Mega Man flagship series, again, exclusive to yourself, and they just have a huge range of things. I mean, like Dead Rising as well, and obviously Monster Hunter, they can have more control over that. They can make the main games also come out for the Wii U and so on and so forth.
It will be really good. They could revive the Breath of Fire series, which started on the NES, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring that back.
Yeah, I mean, there they got this huge back catalogue. I would really like to see Nintendo do it, but it's really hard to say. I've no idea what sort of money is involved in this, and obviously they're under a lot of pressure as it is to bring money in, opposed to spending a lot. But yeah, I think that could work really well for Nintendo going forwards, just having them as like a first-party studio, as it were. That would be pretty crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to them. I think possibly maybe Capcom's just going to really slim themselves down and focus purely on things like Monster Hunter in Japan.
Yeah.
And things like that, because obviously that makes a lot of money, so maybe they just need to really cut the fat in their operations.
See, I think this is one of the key factors into why they won't do a Wii U version. It's because, you know, it's not going to bring much income as the 3DS version will. That's done, you know.
So. Whereas, obviously, if Nintendo owned them, then that's not necessarily their problem anymore.
No,
because it's
great.
Being funded by Nintendo. But yeah, it's a very interesting topic, and it will be cool to see what happens to this one, either way. And our last piece of news here is some good news about Mario Kart 8, which is the MPD sales data from the month of May. And although I think Marikite was only actually on sale for, was it 2 days of that month?
2 days. And it was number number two selling best-selling game of May.
Yeah, that's incredibly impressive.
On a console that's struggling, that's the bigger part.
Yeah, and it obviously only got beaten by Watch Dogs, which is obviously been really hyped for absolutely years, and is multiplayer reason was it 5 different platforms? Because obviously the current gen bar Wii U and the previous gen.
Yes.
And a PC SKU as well.
That's right.
Sort of thing, yeah, Mario Kart's done really well here.
And the great thing as well, Mario Kart will have a long life ahead of it.
That's a very good point as well.
That's always. Didn't Mario Kart Wii outsold GTA 4 in lifetime sales?
Yeah, it did.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
See, that's...
there's not many things which it hasn't.
Yeah. It brings people in.
Definitely, and hopefully Mario Kart 8 will continue the sale, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the MPB sales figures are for this month. And in addition also, purely just the selling copies of Mario Kart 8, it should be interesting to see the actual sales data of Wii U's going alongside it.
They won't, I think, release that until about a few weeks. I mean, as a recording, they're not out right now, but they'll probably release this fairly soon. I'd be surprised if probably by that number, like, it would have sold, I don't know, 700,000 Wii U's. That's wishful thinking, but yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
So yeah, we'll move on now to our final feature for the episode, which is the top 10 moments of E3. But before we do, I believe Holly has to jump out of the call now.
Yes, I do. But really quick, I can kind of explain like why, because I'm the one who came up with this feature. I don't know. I was really stretching to try and come up with something. But before I go, I can kind of tell you guys what you need to do. I'm being kind of demanding, but I've listed, okay, you know, like several moments from E3. And my intention was just kind of to narrow those down to just 10 moments and to hopefully rank them, if you have time, to, you know, like the top 10 moments ending in, you know, like what the best moment of Nintendo's E3 was this year. So, yeah, and basically take this list and just do whatever you want with it. I mean, under New Fighters in Smash Bros., I put the Mii Fighter, Palutena, and Pac-Man. You can just have the reveals of all three of those characters count as one event, or you can say like, oh, the Pac-Man reveal by itself was a good enough event to be kind of on its own in this list. So yeah, that's basically all I've got to explain there. So yeah, go wild, have fun. I'm signing off. See you guys.
Mission accepted. All right, have a good time. We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so yeah, we've got quite the task ahead of us. I like how this one's just been has been put on our laps here. Wow, I'm not prepared. Where do we start? Do we start with the best and work back, I think, maybe, on this one?
I think...
Games, I would normally do the other way around, but I'm not sure with this.
I think we should just go from 10 to 1, real quick.
All right, well, okay. what's the worst? Okay, that's great. What's the least impressive out of these things?
The least impressive? I'm just going to put Star Fox Tease at the end, whatever, for 10, just because... One, when it was initially, once the day of the event happened, and Time Magazine leaked that interview with Shigeru Miyamoto. So I assumed I was going to see something bigger and larger, but the fact that it exists and we're getting a Star Fox, but it was just kind of in the experimental stage, so I put that at 10.
No problem, okay. The next one I'm seeing here, the Nintendo costumes for Bayonetta. They are cool, but they're not as cool as game announcements.
Alright, we'll put that as 10. I mean, yes, yeah. I mean, considering how Nintendo did say for Bayonetta's Link costume that she should not have an undershirt, so maybe points for the...
They put a surprising amount of effort into those things. They do change up, like, the game in some weird ways, like the Peach one, you get, like, coins from destroying enemies, and it's just like... And, like, on the Link costume, like, when you go through the door, the puzzle chime goes off.
Well, the latest news of the Peach costume, I read this about not long ago, was in Bayonetta she summons these huge creatures. Yeah?
Okay.
Well, if you wear the Peach outfit, you can summon Bowser.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. So I'm like, that's pretty
Wait,
cool.
Does this move this above the Star Fox announcement? Maybe.
I'll put it at 9.
I'll be honest.
I'll put it at 9.
Knowing that there's a Star Fox comic, a Star Fox coming, is really cool news. But the actual reveal has got to be one of the most tamest reveal they've ever done. It was just on a blurry screen, and it looked like he was playing just Star Fox 64, to be honest.
Yeah.
On that actual...
It was kind of a low-key announcement. It's just like, hey, here it is. It's happening, but we won't tell you much more. Just the fact that, oh, we're trying to find a developer to take on the rest of the duties.
Yeah. So as a moment, I don't think it really necessarily brought up the hype of, oh, awesome, a Star Fox game's coming.
No.
Just because it was just kind of him chilling in the corner with it. And it not looked necessary. It wasn't. I'm going to be completely frank here. I don't think it looked impressive in that demo. I'm sure it will when it's an actual game. But as that tech demo, I don't think that was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that's like, I need to see more of this.
Yeah. So does that push Bayonetta costumes above Star Fox announcement?
I think it does.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. This is fantastic.
So far, so good.
Yeah, okay. What else we got, people?
So what we got? We had 10, Star Fox, 9, Bayonetta costumes. Look. Now we're at 8. Boy, wow. I'd probably have to say the Project Steam.
Yeah.
Really? New IP, guys? Strategy game? Intelligent systems?
It's new. It's over there. It's the fact that it was announced at a round table. That's it.
That's true.
It just didn't have that big... I mean, yeah, we're given a time slot of like, yeah, this new exclusive IP for the 3DS, and I'm excited for it. I mean, you know, I'm intrigued by it. It's like, it didn't push me like, oh, I can't wait for this. I was like, all right, I'll try this out. It just like didn't push me as hard that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Let's put it there for now, and we can see if it lands NRS as we add things in, or if it stays the same. Project Steam is at number 8. Okay, let's go with some of these kind of, like, add-on ones almost. So we've got, like, fighter reveals, and we've got playable characters in Hyrule Warriors. So but then again, like, Zelda in Hyrule Warriors? Was that a particular... I mean, I kind of assumed she was going to be in it.
Yeah, you saw it coming.
Midna is a bit cooler.
Yeah, Midna I did not see coming. So that's pretty cool.
I will retract my statement, and I will say that is 8, and Steam is number 7.
Okay, swap these around.
That sounds good, too.
I mean, I feel like costume reveals at this point, like, okay, or character reveals, costume slash character reveals, they go high enough, but unless you're Smash.
Okay, exactly. And just to confirm, the Midna and Zelda in Hyrule Warriors is better than the bizarre costumes in Bayonetta. Is that factual?
It's the fact that I get to play as these characters. I mean, I'm still playing as Bayonetta. It's just I'm playing as Bayonetta in green garb or Samus' armor.
But you get to flip her helmet up and down. And
you're trying to...
To your heart content.
That's amazing.
Even while she's sucking on a lollipop.
Doesn't make any sense.
Okay, we'll leave that in the line. What else do we have here?
We're at 6 now.
So we've got things like here, like the Robot Chicken segments, and the Reggie Water fight. Maybe we need to rethink these things, because they were pretty cool. But, yeah. I mean, when compared to against actual announcements, where do they sit? This is weird to think we've got task on our hands.
It's moments, but yeah, it's...
They were good moments, actually.
Well, the Robot Chicken segments that I hold pretty high, just because Nintendo went out of their way to kind of get something that's out of their perceived age demographic. I mean, I know kids watch Robot Chicken, but I'm saying, like, you have adults who watch this. And not only that, to have the creators and having to allow them to poke fun at themselves and their fans. So,
yeah,
that one itself is higher than the Reggie Iwata digital fight, so...
Oh, I did like that Reggie Iwata fight.
Iwata looked completely crazy. Yeah, it's like, wow, look at him, he's... So mental.
Yeah, it was mad because Reggie just handed him. It's like, yeah, here's our financials for the last year. What? I will fight you for sending me this bad news.
So does the Reggie Iwata fight, does that beat the Project Steam announcement?
It was pretty cool.
As a moment of E3, we going yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So possibly the placeholder will put it in the number 6 slot, and the Robot Chicken sections were better, so that's going into number 5. So far we've got the Star Fox announcement, Bayonetta costumes, Hyrule Warriors characters, Project Steam, Reggie Water fight, and then Robot Chicken segments, which gives us the top 5 to plumb for. So what have we actually saved ourselves? Obviously, we've got Zelda announcement for the Wii U. We have new fighters for Smash. We have Amiibos. We have Splatoon. And as a very broad one here, we have a Nintendo Treehouse Live at E3. Where I'm thinking we're missing a Smash tournament, Smash Invitational here.
How about we just put Smash announcements overall as one?
I think Invitational needs to be a separate thing if we're including like Reggie Waterfight and Robot Chicken. I mean, this was like a 2.5 hour live stream.
How about the quirky segment, the Reggie Iwata fight with Robot Chicken as his one? It's a tie.
Yeah, okay. It's tying for number 6 currently. I think that Smash Invitational was pretty awesome.
I think that's a little higher, though, I mean, as far as a big tournament like that. I mean, it's just, if you wanted to do something else, I put Splatoon on there, just because, as a new IP, it's going to be probably, like, the way if this goes well, it could be Nintendo's next great, you know, local multiplayer game.
And the feedback from the show floor was really good for Splatoon. And it seems the people who played it were very impressed with what it was, which is really great to hear.
See, I would put Splatoon above the Amiibo announcement.
How about we put Amiibo there because we knew this was coming, though. We knew that this announcement was going to be, we knew NFC was going to be present at this show.
Actually, got a question for us here. How do we think Amiibo showed off well during E3?
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, it gives me a reason to buy little toys again.
See, I was quite disappointed with them. I mean, the figures themselves looked cool, but I'm not compelled of why they benefit of, you know, actually, you know, plugging them up to your NFC. Currently, it just kind of gives you like a customized punch bag in Smash Bros.
See, the thing about Amiibo, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the price. If they have price right, then people will buy it.
And I guess what they also do with those other games they said it will work with. But they didn't say anything about, you know, how it's going to work in Mario Kart, which should be coming out soon, I guess, alongside Amiibos, and also with Toad Treasure Tracker, which I guess will probably be out before Smash. So I guess all those three games we'll be able to play this holiday season, possibly, with Amiibos, but I'm not sure how yet. I would put that between the Reggie and Iwata fight and the Smash Invitational myself. So it would become 5th and Smash Invitational become 4th.
Let it be so.
Okay, we are making progress. Amiibos going to number 5. So quick rundown here, because we've only got 3, 2, and 1 left. So number 10, Star Fox. Number 9, Bayonetta Costumes. Number 8, High Warrior Characters. Number 7, Project Steam. Number 6, the Reggie Iwata Fight and Robo Chicken segments. Number 5, Amiibos. And number 4, the Smash Invitational. Okay, so we've still got Splatoon. We haven't actually placed that yet. We got Splatoon, or we got Zelda, and we got Smash characters. Do we have anything else? Oh, we got Nintendo Treehouse Line.
I say the Smash announcements would be 3.
Yeah, okay. As a placeholder, definitely. Smash characters at number 3. Because there were some really cool characters. I think Mii Fighters showed off really well, just with the fact they got, 12 moves each you can choose from? So, yeah, they're actually really customizable, so that would be cool, just doing, some Mii on Mii fights, and just, you know, creating your own, kind of blindly compared to the other person, and just having a fight afterwards and see what happens. Palutena, I guess, I'm not sure if she is confirmed that she was leaked before, or that was just a coincidence. But her return looked cool, and that anime... that anime intro for Palutena. That was fantastic.
I think that's the best reveal video that I've seen for a character so far. Between Palutena and Little Mac, they were both very good little videos.
Yeah, because we want animated series of those. We all know.
Absolutely.
That would be incredible.
Just not Captain N, that was terrible.
Well, that Smash is kind of like the modern way to do Captain N, really. It's like an excuse to get all the Nintendo franchises together in some way which makes sense.
Yeah.
And you could do that under the Smash title.
Does Nintendo still retain the rights to Captain N, or does Dick Entertainment still hold that right?
I have no idea.
I hope they buried those rights. Okay, that show is terrible.
Then again, I wouldn't entirely be surprised if... Sakurai had managed to figure out the rights and licensing to get Captain N as the final secret character in this game. It seems to be the sort of thing he would do, even though the show didn't actually go out in Japan.
I was about to say, thank goodness for them.
Okay, so we've got 2 slots left, but maybe we have to chop some things from our list, because we've still got Zelda. We've still got, as a category, the Treehouse Live, which streamed all, you know, during each day of E3, which had some awesome demos.
That was pretty cool.
From the Treehouse guys. And we haven't put Splatoon in there yet.
I thought we did put Splatoon in there.
No, we discussed it, but we didn't actually place it anywhere. So, we can play Splatoon now, and like, you know, push something up or push something down.
Push the Bayonetta, and push the...
Well, I think Splatoon needs to be higher than the kind of Bayonetta slot at the top.
Well, I'm saying we put this here and we push it down. I'm trying to think of a title that could probably do that.
I think it's above Project Steam. I think they added a bit of fanfare, Splatoon, on the show floor.
All right, it's between the costumes of Bayonetta and the Star Fox reveal.
Wait. I'm saying the opposite. I'm thinking, because currently we've got like 10 for Star Fox, 9 for Bayonetta, 8 for High Warrior.
I'm saying drop one of those and push them back.
Okay. So, maybe, yeah. Then again, I guess if we're this is weird, because I guess if we're being logical about it, we'll drop number 10, because that's how we've ordered it. But
yeah,
it would be odd to drop Star Fox out of this list. So, maybe we do drop, I guess, Bayonetta.
Yeah, just do that.
Yeah.
Costume reveals are fine and all, but, you know, just do that.
They are cool, but there are more cool things to put in. Mm-hmm. So we're going to put Splatoon here, but that puts Splatoon at number 9.
No, I'm saying... We put Splatoon at the
Project Steam slot?
No, the 3 spot. 7? The 3 spot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, number 3, Splatoon. And then everyone else moves up. So Smash characters are 4, Smash Invitational is 5, Amiibo is 6, Reggie Fight is 7, Project Steam is 8, High Warrior characters are 9, and Star Fox is 10.
I think we combined the Robot Chicken thing with the Reggie Fight, so I think...
We have.
It's all one entity. But no, coming down to the Treehouse event and the Zelda Wii U trailer, this is a toss-up for me, really, because how well Nintendo did with their demos with the Treehouse Live events is something that I kind of really do hope they do for future E3 events. But also,
yeah, so basically,
and you with Zelda Wii U trailer, well, trailer or tease, we were given a lot more information about it, but...
But then you're comparing it to, like, 3 days of content.
Yeah, it doesn't really compare. So, yeah, I'll put Treehouse on one.
That is totally fine with me, but yeah, I mean...
Yeah, saying that, through all the demos they went through, and just kind of like the really kind of just the human aspect of the Treehouse demos. I mean, they didn't have, like actual presenters on there. It was just the genuine Treehouse guys who work for Nintendo demoing the games that they are localizing, which is pretty cool. And we got some really good entertainment out of it, and I watched a bunch of it during E3. As awesome as the Zelda reveal was, in terms of moments in E3, I think the Treehouse Live just covers a lot more in terms of, inclusively, of E3 moments.
Yeah, you were given more information through that 30 to 40 average minute of like playtime that they had on there, as opposed to what we would get in a direct, like a digital event or a direct, where what they showed there was... This is what it is. Here's a trailer. Next game.
Yeah, and it was also in from the Treehouse Live. Basically, when they were going through the Hyrule Warriors demo, and they showcased a bit where, as I discussed on the last show, where they pull up the moon from Majora's Mask and then slam it into the boss. I wouldn't have seen that if it wasn't for the event in the Treehouse, because it didn't appear in the main trailer or any other like regular footage which came out from that game, and only from... just someone from the Treehouse showing that off as a cool thing you can do. So yeah, I'm happy for that as a E3 moment to go above the Zelda reveal. So shall I go down this list once more and we can see if we want to make any final amendments?
Let's do it, and I think I don't see any changes.
Okay, number 10, the Star Fox reveal for Wii U. Number 9, Hyrule Warrior characters for Hyrule Warriors, including Midna and Zelda. The Project Steam reveal, the 3DS strategy game, Intelligent Systems in number 7, the combo of the Reggie Iwata fight and the Robot Chicken segments during the digital events. Number 6, the Amiibo figurines. Number 5, the Smash Invitational. Number 4, the Smash character reveals, including Mii Fighter, Palutena, and Pac-Man. In number 3, Splatoon. the very colourful third-person online shooter for the Wii U. Number two, tentative title, The Legend of Zelda Wii U. And number one, Nintendo Treehouse Live at E3.
Looks fine to me.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, I think we've got a pretty cool list here, guys.
I mean, yeah, I think everybody should, if you want to argue against it, or probably not. Well, listeners, tell us tell us next week, please.
Well, I'm sure there's a couple of people who would like to see Zelda on that top of the list there. I'm not sure if anyone is particularly burned by us dropping the peculiar Bayonetta costumes, Nintendo-themed ones, from our list. Was there anything we just didn't include at all in the end?
Games we already knew about. I mean, X being called Xenoblade Chronicles X, getting more story.
Oh, but yeah, I feel we knew enough about that game anyway. It wasn't quite the, like, moment, because we've already seen a bunch of different trailers from that game.
Yeah.
And we know it looks fantastic already.
Yeah, I think that's all we got for it.
Excellent. Yeah, I think we've done really well here. And with that, we're going to close off the show. As always, please do send in your listener mail into the show at contact@infendo.com. Our mailbag is disturbingly empty. Hopefully, if you guys can send us a mail in, we can actually do a mailbag show and just kind of just do a whole show around your questions. We've done a couple of those in the past, and they've turned out, I think, to be some of our best episodes. So please do send some of just some interesting questions for us to kind of debate and shout across on the show. Also, of course, if you're listening to this on the browser itself, you can just scroll down and add your questions or topic suggestions into the comments below, and we'll pick those up from there as well. And with that, this has been Infendo Radio. Thank you very much for listening.
Later, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you later. Colin Crompton.
Hello.
Hello, Colin.
We almost lost him for a second.
Yeah, are you picking me up?
Oh yeah, now we're picking you up fine.
Hello? Okay.
Oh. Let me just do this one again, just for Holly's sake.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.